Our Father, this morning we give you that glory, knowing, Lord, that we are nothing without you. You are the vine, we are the branches. And Lord, without you, everything is impossible. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory today because of what you've done for us. You loved us first. And Lord, I pray that through that, Lord, our lives would then show that it would show that worship, that it would show you the glory of what you have done for us, that we would respond to you in the way in which you've loved us. And Lord, we'll give you all the thanks and all the glory for it. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. You'll meet the leader up front this morning as y'all head back for a time in the Word together. And for us here this morning, let's take our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, as we continue our series through the book of Ephesians, and seeing the truth now that Paul is giving us and the practical applications that he's turning now to after all of the theological content that he's given to us in the first part of the book. In chapter 4 now, we are seeing that turn to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we've been called. And now we have this opportunity to see these practical applications. Now last week, we saw the passage in chapter 4 in verses 17 through 24, the new walk and how we as believers walk in this new walk, in that we aren't walking as the Gentiles and the futility of the mind. And Paul was talking to Gentiles saying that because he wanted them to understand the difference of how their walk should be, even of those that was around them and natural to them. But because of Jesus Christ, there is something that has happened to us that gives us the opportunity to do something different. And he talked about the putting off and the putting on in this new walk that we walk. One that is in the renewed mind, away from all the corruption that we see that sin brings. And it gives us the opportunity to put on this new self. In verse 24, it says, "And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So that's where we ended up last week. In talking about this new walk as believers, as those that know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and there's been a change in your heart, a change in your life, just like for these Gentiles, the Ephesians, there is a new walk, and it's to be like the created in the likeness of God. And he's drawing from that passage in Genesis that tells us that man was made in the likeness of God. And so we have this opportunity to walk in that likeness. True righteousness, holiness. And the wonderful thing about Paul is he loves to go further and explain it a little bit more. And so this morning, the passage that we're going to see is going to build on this idea of this new likeness that we're to walk in, this new walk, and he's going to give us some very practical ways in which that happens. You're going to find some very specific applications this morning in this passage, and we could really, you know, break down each and every one of these little applications. But what we're seeing are actual ways in which Paul is saying that if you are created in Christ Jesus, this is how now you walk. This is what it looks like. You know, if you've ever wanted God just to, you know, Lord, just put it out there for me. Just show me exactly what you mean. You ever thought that? Lord, would you just send me a text message, right? To just tell me exactly what you mean. We are going to see that this morning from Paul and some specific things that Paul is going to say that, listen, this is what God wants you to do. This is what it looks like to walk as this new creature. It's very practical in living this life and how we should do this. So let's look here in this passage, chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 25, and really the paragraph kind of goes through the first part of chapter 5 as well. So chapter 4, starting in verse 25. "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So here in this passage, we see practical imitations. We saw beforehand in verse 24, he's talking about putting on this new self, creating the likeness of God. But then notice that statement there in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, that's a summary statement here. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says, now because of all this, be an imitator of God. And so when he is talking about these practical things, he is giving us very simple applications of things that this is what it looks like to be an imitator of God. So this morning I want to go over three quick applications that we can pull here from these truths in this passage. First off, we need to see the put off and put on continued. The put off and put on continued. When you start here in verse 25, therefore is connecting it back to that previous passage. But we are going to see specific things to put off and put on. Remember, he had just talked about you have to put off your old self, put off the corruption, put off that which is a part of the old man. And now I want to see you put on this new man. And so when we look down through this passage, I want you to really pick up on a pattern. And the pattern that we're going to see here is there is a negative, then there's a positive, and then there's a reason. He's going to say, don't do this, but do this, and here's the reason why. And we see this in different ways. So notice the first way here as he says, therefore, having putting away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. So in verse 25, the first thing we are to put away, falsehood. You would think that would be pretty self-explanatory, right? As believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to put away falsehood. We see this theme all throughout Scripture. Let your yea be yea, your nay, nay. We see all these aspects. We should be honest people. You know, in a day and time that this really probably wasn't something you had to speak much to, but I believe that even so today, even in our churches, that we have to make sure that we reiterate this fact. Be honest people. Put away falsehood. Why so? John 8:44 lays it out very clear for us that who is the father of lies? The devil. He's the father of lies. And when we walk in falsehoods, when we walk in dishonesty, when our word can't be taken, we are following after the father of lies. We are being deceitful about who we are. This is the character of the ungodly. He says, don't do that. Put off falsehood and then let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Speak truth. It means be honest. Speak the things that are right. Some of you take this the totally opposite direction and use it to be harmful. You know, when you just hear those words, you know, I'm just saying. You know, it's this, well, I'm just saying. That's it, you know. You just want me to be honest, right? And you're brutally honest sometimes. You know, I'm just saying, preacher. You know, that is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about in speaking the truth is be honest. be honest, and there's a way to speak the truth in love. And he gives us the reason why, therefore, we are members one of another. That as the body of Christ, and we see this unity theme throughout the book of Ephesians, but as the body of Christ, as we are united together, we shouldn't have to lie to each other. There shouldn't be that falsehood. That we should be able to speak truth one with another in a way in which builds up the member, that provides a loving atmosphere. Now, look at the next aspect. He says, put away falsehood, speak truth. Now, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, here's an interesting one. This one kind of takes the pattern and changes it up a little bit, but it provides what is a couplet for us. He says, be angry and do not sin. These two things are going together. The negative, don't sin. The positive, be angry. But when we see this in this couplet, when it's joined together with that conjunction of and, we are seeing a different force. He's not saying that you should have a right to go around and be angry. What he's saying is that there is a caution that needs to happen with anger. There are times when, you know, we might see a righteous anger that comes up against sin, against injustice, against things that happen. But what we have to be careful with is understanding what that anger can do. Because the force of what Paul's bringing out is really this negative aspect. Do not sin. Do not sin. And he goes on there to say, do not let the sun go down on your anger. He is wanting us to understand that there are pitfalls in anger. While we might think that we have righteous anger, a lot of times, usually it's not. Usually it's just myself. And I'm mad. And I'm going to use that and I'm going to justify it in the way that I want to. And Paul said, listen, there are so many pitfalls with anger. He says, you can be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. The idea is that he wants them to not let it fester. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, I've heard from different married couples, and one of the things that they do is, you know, they try to make sure that they talk through things that they're mad with before they go to sleep. And they try to never go to bed angry. You know what? And it's a great practice. They'll be able to talk through some things and make sure that you work through it. Because the idea of what we're seeing here is, do not let that anger fester. Don't let it continue on. Don't allow that anger to sit inside of us and just build and build and build and just simmer. And just continue on and continue on. He says, don't let it sit there. Don't give place to it. Why? And here's the reason. And give no opportunity to the devil. When we harbor that anger inside and we allow it to fester and to continue to grow, we are giving the devil an opportunity. It was a term and a usage for this time period of bringing about the opportunity. He says, don't give the opportunity to the devil. Don't allow him to do these things. And he's going to talk about the furthering of this later on in verse 31. And when we give opportunity to the devil, that it could bring up bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all these different things. He says, don't give the opportunity to the devil. Keep a short list. Get rid of the anger quickly. The next, put off, put on, verse 27. Or verse 28, it says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Do not steal. You want to know the word here for steal? It's the word klepto. It's where we get our word kleptomaniac. He's saying, don't be a thief. And what's interesting about the word klepto is, it's not a violent idea of thievery. It's not a violent robbery. The word has the idea of a secret stealing. Now, this is where we can bring down applications even more, because sometimes it's very easy for us to say, you know, well, you know, and I'm not a thief and I don't go breaking into cars. You know, it's something we've, you know, experienced in our neighborhood and different things. A lot of, you know, car robberies. Last night we even had a police officer banging on our door at 8:30 last night, and I'll walk outside. Does so-and-so live here? No, sir. This is the Wallace residence. But we have a three-year-old you can take. No, I wouldn't do that. I didn't say I hadn't thought of it. I didn't say I'd do it. But you know, the idea is not a violent robbery. The idea of what he's saying here is a secret sin, a secret stealing. It's the shaving the time off the time clock. It's taking a little bit here and there from our employers. It's stealing in secret. It's doing these little things back and forth. And he's saying, do not steal. Do not take in secret. It goes right in line with the idea of honesty, but he says there, but rather, here's what we need to do. Let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. This idea of labor here is work that is beneficial. He's saying, be beneficial, work with your hands, do what you know, God has given you opportunity to do. It's like the verse that my dad quoted to me all the time. If you do not work, neither should you eat, in 1 Thessalonians. But he's giving the idea here that we need to be beneficial. Don't resort to the thievering, the dishonesty, the stealing, but work with your hands. Provide something beneficial, and not just for ourselves. Notice the reason there. So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Why are we to work and be honest in our endeavors and to do these different things and not to steal and resort to that? So not just that we can take care of ourselves, but that we could be beneficial to the community, that we can be beneficial to people and help those that have a need. To be generous. This was a common theme and a common idea that we see in the New Testament, and it should be in our churches as well, that we have the opportunity to help those in need. That we help provide. We share the love of Christ through providing with them. It gives that grace. And then the next put off and put on in verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now this is an opportunity for us to understand what comes out of our life. He says, let no corrupt talk, let no corrupt communication. Now we got to understand that when we look at the application of this, it's not just referring for us to our mouth. But it's also referring to what you type. Let no corrupt communication, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. The word here for corrupt, it's a very vivid word. It means to be rancid. It means rotten. It's like a dead, decaying fish. Can you just imagine the smells and all of that rottenness now? You know, it's like the trash can that you have not been able to take out for a couple weeks. The rottenness of it. He says when you are providing that corrupting talk, when you're talking with that, it is a stench, it is a filth that is coming out of your mouth, and it does no one any good. It's diseased. And he says it's no use. We as believers need to make sure that our talk matches who we're walking with. That our talk lines up. Even in our appearances. Even in what we share. Folks, please. Don't do the disservice to the name of Jesus Christ by being a Christian sharer who shares all manners of language on Facebook. Please, share Jesus even in what you share and how you talk and communicate. It might be the funniest thing in the world, but if it does harm to Jesus Christ, it's not worth it. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Don't let it go there. Put it off. That's the old way. But build up, he says, for that which is good for building up as it fits the occasion. That our talk, that our speech, that what we share, that what we type, that what we send should be something that builds up people. Something that builds up one another, that lifts each other up. We don't have to use the rottenness. We don't have to use the rancid language. We have the opportunity to use the grace in which has been bestowed upon us by Jesus Christ. Be beneficial to those that you're talking to. You ever been around somebody that's always negative? You ever been around somebody that's always putting somebody down? That's always just griping and complaining? Some of you are like, you know what I'm walking into tomorrow morning right at 9 o'clock. Do you like to be around those people? Do they make your day better? That's just very philosophically easy to understand. It doesn't work whenever we walk and talk that way. Instead, be somebody that is beneficial. Be somebody that provides grace just the way that Jesus Christ did for us. It gives grace. He says it gives grace to those who hear. Let your speech, your communication provide that. Next, put off and put on. And we see it on down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. And this is a long list. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, let it all be put away from you. Some have tried to show this as kind of a degrees of moving in different degrees here of what happens when we let bitterness stick around. But all these connections here, the and, what it's showing is this is really Paul is saying this is all clumped together. Don't let bitterness, don't let wrath, don't let clamor, anger, slander, all these things be put away from you. And really, all these components here are an idea of anger, but they also have a verbal aspect to it. Don't let bitterness come out of your mouth. Don't let wrath come out of your mouth, even when you're driving. Don't allow these things to show these aspects of wrath and anger. Clamor actually means yelling. Don't be yelling. Don't be doing all these different things that are just coming out, letting all this stuff come out. Why? Because what is coming out of your life is coming from something inside. What's coming out of your mouth is coming from somewhere. Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth the good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. What comes out of our life, this bitterness, this anger, this wrath, all these different things, it's showing a heart matter that's going on the inside, and there has to be a change in here so that that's not coming out. Put it off. So what do we put on? Verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another. That our speech, that our life should minister this kindness, this grace, instead of all the bitterness. If you store up bitterness, it will destroy you. Take that bottle of soda, shake it up. And what happens when you leave the cap on for that next person? It explodes. When we have that bitterness in our life and we just keep storing it up, all of a sudden it explodes. It does no one any good. But yet, we are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Sometimes this is looked at as being very naive. You know what? That just means, you know, you're going to get taken advantage of. That just means you're going to, you know, be called stupid. You're going to be all these different things. You're just going to be a pushover. You're going to be too gentle. Who's the comparison here for this? Who's the example? Was Christ a pushover? Was Christ weak? Was Christ powerless? No. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's our example. Put off all of that and put on Jesus Christ. Put off, put on. It's just showing us this morning that there is an alternative to sin. We don't have to walk in those ways anymore because of Jesus Christ, because of what He has done for us. There is a newness in us because of the fact that He was raised from the dead. We get to walk in the newness of life. It's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. We are dead to sin so that we can live to righteousness. I'm going to put off those old things so I can put on the power of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you the world's going to be a whole lot more different if our communication changes and our love and forgiveness goes up. That there will be a difference because of Jesus Christ. Put off, put on. And then, number two, build on the motivation. Build on the motivation. We've seen in these different areas the different reasons why He says we should do these things. Speak truth with the neighbor, for we are members one with another. Give no opportunity to the devil. Do honest work with your hands so that you may have something to share with those in need. Be providing a speech that's building up as fits occasions that may give grace to those who hear. Be kind, forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. There are the motivations to all that putting off and putting on, that there is a reason. Understand why God is asking us to do these things. Understand the motivation of our walk. Understand the motivation of all these reasons why Paul is saying, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this. This isn't just a checklist so that we can get really into all the little details of our Christian walk. No, there is a reason behind it all. And when you look at all those motivations, they are all expressions of love. We are members one with another. We should walk in love one with another. So you know what? Don't be dishonest. That's not very loving. We should not have that corrupt communication because we should give grace and be beneficial in our talk because that is loving to build up one another. These are all expressions of love because then that's when the summary comes. And that's what leads us to the third application. Love is the pattern. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, because of all that, be imitators of God. The word for imitator, it's mimike, it's mimic. Be a mimicker, be an imitator of God as beloved children. The word for beloved, it comes from the wording of agape, and it's that sacrificial love. As beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us. And how did Christ love us? He gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. He said, here's the type of love, here's the pattern. The pattern is Jesus Christ who gave Himself up. This terminology means that He put Himself in our place. He gave Himself up for us. A fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Isn't that kind of interesting? A fragrant offering. You know, Paul has used some words already in this passage that bring about smells, the rancidness of corrupt communication. But now he says, be a fragrant offering just as Christ was. A fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God was something that was accepted because of the sincerity and the wholeheartedness of the worshiper. In the Old Testament, when they would worship and the sacrifices and the burnt offerings that they would present before God, if it was a sweet-smelling savor to God, it was accepted because of the sincerity and wholeheartedness of the worshiper. And that's what we see in Christ when He gave Himself up for us. It was a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And that is the pattern that we walk in that love. And when we walk in that love, in that pattern, it becomes a fragrant offering before the Lord. We walk in love. And that's when it makes it easy to be honest. That's when it makes it easy to do work, to labor that's beneficial. It makes it easy then to talk and give grace. It makes it easy not to be bitter and have malice and hatred in our hearts, because there is a love for God, that we're growing in that love for God and we're growing in Him. And when we do that, we get on our heart what's on His heart. And that was us and that was people. And then we begin to walk from that love of God. We begin to walk in love with others to show the love of Jesus Christ. Be imitators of God. We see the practical imitations in chapter 4. But Paul gives us that summary statement in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 of this is what it's to look like. And this morning I want you to understand this. We will only imitate what we are watching. We will only imitate what we're watching. If we aren't watching Jesus Christ, if our eyes aren't focused on Him, we're going to imitate what we see around us. If our eyes are constantly on the news, if our eyes are constantly on the upheaval that's around us, you know what's going to happen to your heart? It's going to get calloused. It's going to get tired. I don't know about you, it's not the way I want to start my day. All right, I need coffee, and I need joy from the Scripture. I don't need to turn on the news to hear every little negative thing that they want to start fighting about at 6 o'clock in the morning. If that's what we're watching, if that's what we're putting into our life, guess what? That's what we're going to imitate. If that's what you're hearing, if that's what's coming into your ears, if that's what you're inputting, that's what you're going to imitate. Growing up on Saturday mornings, during baseball season or different sports seasons, you know, I'd go out and I was playing sports and things in the yard. I always want to imitate my favorite sports players. You know, with playing football, you know, if I was quarterback, I wanted to be Troy Aikman. You know, if I was running back, I was Emmitt Smith. You know, and I loved receivers, and so with Michael Irvin, you know, I wanted to be the playmaker. I even found, and then this might be really gross for you, but I found one of my older brother's, old mouthpieces from his football playing days. And it was one of the ones like Michael Irvin used to wear, the big mouthpiece on it. And I'd go outside and I'd have that mouthpiece in. It was too big for my mouth, but I'd have it in because I wanted to imitate him. Baseball season, I'd imitate the players. I loved the way that Julio Franco used to hold his bat. He'd step in the batter's box and he'd pull that bat and he was facing out there. And I used to, you know, I used to do that and used to imitate those that you were watching. And one of the great players at that time was Ricky Henderson. And being a chubby kid, I always admired speed. I always wanted to be fast. And we had this dirt pit out there in our yard. And I'd get my sweatpants, and I'd roll up the legs like Ricky Henderson would with the long socks. I'd find two old batting gloves and I'd put my Texas Ranger batting helmet on. And I'd even watch the way that Ricky Henderson, when he was running the bases, the Velcro on his glove would be undone, and I'd have those undone and have my pants up. And when he would slide into the baseball, he'd slide head first, right? You know, it might be the old Pete Rose for you, but for me it was Ricky Henderson, and he'd slide head first and his helmet would always pop off. And so, you know, chubby little Lyle was out there diving in the dirt pit, hands first, and my helmet wouldn't come off, so I'd have to knock it off. Because I wanted to be an imitator of what I was watching. And you know what? I knew every little detail. I knew every little thing about it. I wanted to look like that. I wanted to be that. That's what Paul is saying here with this new walk. We're not doing this walk just so that it could benefit us. He's saying, I want you to be an imitator of what has changed you. And that's Jesus Christ. Be an imitator of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. It's the idea that Paul writes in Colossians 3. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That we have this opportunity to imitate this one who has done so much for us, this love that has been given so great for us, that our sins and our rottenness, our rancid talk, our everything was placed on a cross and His blood was good enough to forgive us of that. And because of that, I can walk in Jesus Christ knowing that someday I'm going to live and reign and rule with Him in heaven. And if I have that, that is life-changing and transformative here on this earth so that people around us should notice it. Because we've put off all that dirtiness that leads us to nowhere. And we are putting on Jesus Christ. Practical imitations. People have the most arguments with Christians when they are hypocritical. If we're hypocritical, it means that we're not following what Scripture has given us. Because Scripture has told us, be an imitator of God. And this morning, let's put it to practical use. Shall we stand? Can I ask you there, as you're standing just with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed for a moment, as we think about this scripture, this passage this morning, there's a lot of very real, practical things that we can apply. And I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit has taken one of these areas and maybe has just pressed it upon your heart. That here in just this next moment, you have an opportunity to get it right with God. It happens by confessing. By putting God in the place that He's supposed to be, of being that sovereign, almighty Creator. That He is in that place of knowing everything, of knowing all, knowing every hidden thing that we think we have in our life. He knows it all. It's all open and exposed before Him this morning. And there is those areas where He is speaking to us. To say, you know what, just come turn it over to me. Turn it over to me. Confess it to Him. See it as He sees it. Bring it before Him and say, Lord, forgive me of this. Then renew that mind. So we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we put off those things and we put on what He has provided for us. We put on this new walk, this honesty, this labor, these kindness. And we walk as an imitator of God. This morning, how is God asking you to imitate Him? Love is the pattern. And our walk will show what we are watching. It'll show what we are imitating. It'll show what we are focusing on. And let it be the love of God through Christ Jesus this morning. If you don't know that love personally, today I want to invite you to come. Come know what Jesus Christ has done for you, that your sins might be forgiven, that you might have a new walk and be a new creation in Him. And for those that know Christ as their Lord and Savior, the example, the pattern is there for us. The question is, what are we imitating? Something that has no value? Are we imitating the love of Christ? That changes lives. Our Father, work now in our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to obey, to respond to You, to do what You'd have for us to do. And we give You the thanks and praise. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.